All right, now, as I mentioned a little bit earlier this morning, this today's sermon is basically in response to what has just happened this past week in Arizona. And in case you're living under a rock and you haven't heard, and I don't remember what his title is, some judge basically said that now sodomite marriage, homosexual marriage, is now legal in our state. Regardless of the fact that the people have already voted to pass a law to make, you know, to define marriage between man and a woman and to make it illegal to have sodomite marriages. And besides the fact that the people actually passed an amendment to the Constitution to define marriage between a man and a woman. These things have been done already by the will of the people. But, you know, this wicked judge decided to just say, no, and it's not completely, you know, it's not just his own personal agenda, I don't think, because basically he's saying if we appeal this, it's going to go back to the same court that already said that it's unconstitutional. So there's all this legal battles going on, but the fact of the matter is that this is wickedness, and we're going to preach out against this. And what's disgusting, what's even more disgusting is the amount of people I have seen behind this effort that actually support this. And seeing people thinking, oh, this is a great thing. Oh, this is rights. This is, you know, this is freedom and equality. And these people deserve these rights just as much as anyone else. Now, what's sick and twisted about that is what people don't understand, or maybe they do understand, and they're just wicked in their heart anyways. I don't know. But equating the rights of homos to the rights of someone who's born with, say, black skin or brown skin are two completely different things. When you're talking about, you know, human rights and civil rights of people, we're talking about something that, you know, when you're born, you don't have control over who your parents are. You are a human, you have a soul, just like everybody else. So to say that, yes, you know, whether your skin color is black or brown or red or white, you should have the same rights. Of course that's true, because you're a human being created by God. But to say, to put a perverted, wicked sodomite in that group and say, oh, well, a sodomite is just like being born black, is ridiculous. It's so completely and utterly false, and people have been brainwashed into thinking that, oh, this is just a minority group. No, it's not. It is a minority group, but they're a wicked minority group, and it's based on their actions, and it's based on what they decide to do. Being a pervert and being a sodomite is not just the same as being born physically black. Completely different things. You have a choice to make. People who become sodomites do it by choice. Amen. They're not born that way. They've actually been rejected and given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, as Romans 1 says. We'll be turning to that later. But we see here from the Bible, and look, it disgusts me to see Christians think that this is a good thing. Because they've been brainwashed by our wicked, satanic culture to think that there's nothing wrong with the sodomites and what they want to do. And, oh, yeah, just let them get married. Everything's just fine. They're an alternative lifestyle. Hey, you don't have to approve of what they're doing, but they have the right to get married. Don't get sucked into this nonsense. When you understand how God feels about this wickedness and this sin, hopefully you'll change your tune about this. Now, I use this illustration out soul winning sometimes, and I'll tell people, you know, when I'm giving them the gospel and trying to explain how they're a sinner, and, you know, people usually get that. And I'll read Revelation 21:8 and give the whole list of sins and stop and point out and say, look, all liars shall have their part in lake which burneth fire and brimstone. And I'll be like, you've lied before, right? And just explain, look, we've all lied before. But what we don't want to do, and what's real common, is that just because a lot of people are doing something, we lessen the severity of that sin. And we'll say, oh, well, I mean, everyone's doing it, so it's not that big of a deal. It's not that bad. And we get in this mindset because everyone thinks, oh, well, everyone's saying, well, it's not that bad. It's just a lie. It's not a big deal. Everyone's doing it. So who cares? What's the big deal? But we need, that's the way man looks at things. What we're going to do this morning is look at the way God looks at things. Because that's what ultimately matters anyways. And in that illustration with telling lies, hey, Sure, man might say, well, that's not a big deal. Everybody does it. Who cares? That is not the way God looks at it, which is why Revelation 21:8 says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God has a punishment of hell on even telling one lie. The world's going to say, well, that's not a big deal. That's because the world is foolish and the world lives in darkness. Amen. The world doesn't know the light. God's truth explains that even telling a lie is a very wicked, bad thing to do. Now, I'm not going to say all sin is equal because I don't believe that. All sin is not equal. That's why God gave different punishments for different sins. There is different levels, different severities of punishments that you receive based off of different sins that you do. It makes sense. They're not all equal. However, they do all carry a punishment of hell. And I'm not going to go into this because I did before when I preached on hell. There are different levels of hell that people are going to go to. The really, really wicked people are going to go to the lowest hell. And there's all levels. Now, you don't want to be in hell for 1 second, no matter what part of hell you're in. But there are degrees of hell. And you don't want to, you don't want to be in any part of that. But, and that's all going to be based on your works and on the things that you've done. And we need to get God's view of sodomy, queerness, homosexuality. What does God think about this? Well, we saw in Leviticus 18, we read this, and it goes off this whole list, and this is all a list of for the vast majority, sexual sins, right? People who, and the Bible is very discreet and uses appropriate language, and will use, euphemisms or whatever. It'll use language saying, uncovering your father's nakedness, to put it wholesomely or mildly. You're trying to talk about a wicked act in a wholesome way. And this is the way that the Bible does this. So it's saying, look, you're not supposed to be lying carnally with anyone in your immediate family, close relatives, and it gives off all these things. But then he goes into a man lying with a man. That's what it says in, let's look up at verse, because verse 20 says, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. So committing adultery. Then verse 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Which, that's wicked. That's given, human infant sacrifices unto a false god. Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That word abomination is a very strong word. It's a word of hate in the Bible. It's an abomination. It's something that God hates. It's detestable. It's disgusting. It's vile. When that word is used, take note of that. Abominable, abomination, because it's not. It's using that word on purpose. It's giving strong language to how wicked and how bad this sin is. He says, if a man lie with mankind as with womankind, it's abomination. And then he goes into something even more disgusting. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And mark my words, the way that this country is going, the way that this culture is going, that's the next step. That's the next step in the downward perversion of this country. It starts off with the adultery and the fornication and this free living that we saw in the quote unquote sexual revolution in the 60s, and people just started having this promiscuity and got to the point to where it's expected that people are going to commit fornication before they get married. It used to be not that long ago an uncommon thing that people were having these relationships outside of marriage, and that you would look at a woman that did these things and call her a whore if she slept around and did these things before she got married. It's gotten to the point in culture today where it's just not a big deal, and it's actually expected and it's commonplace that these things are going to take place. So it starts with that promiscuity. It starts with these perversions, starting in a smaller scale, if you will, of doing things that come naturally, but letting loose and not caring about the law that God has instituted. And when the culture starts to accept these things, then it starts to turn into adultery. And now adultery is acceptable. And from there, it's going to keep on going because, sin knows no end. Sin's going to keep on dragging you farther and farther down. And the more wicked our culture gets, the more we're going to get dragged down into this pit of sin and wickedness. So adultery is not going to be enough for Satan. He's going to start, and that's when it starts to, you see, the sodomy. And that type of perversion. And that starts to become accepted. And once that's fully accepted, what's the next step? We saw it right here. And as these things are just, okay, well, that's normal now. Oh, it's just an alternate lifestyle. Oh, you know, and people that now are even straight people are to refer, oh, this is my partner. Your partner. Either get married or don't. You shouldn't be having a partner if you're not married. And if you're married, it's your wife or your husband. You don't have a partner. That's the language that these sodomites like to use. Don't use that same language. But the Bible says that it's abomination. And not only is it abomination, but Leviticus 20, verse 13, the Bible says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So if you want to know how God views sodomy, he says, he doesn't mention marriage. He doesn't say anything about, well, it's okay for them, but just don't let them get married. He says, no. If a man lies with mankind, as he lies with a woman, hey, you know what? They should be put to death. That's the death penalty. There is no extra chance for them. It's not a slap on the wrist. It's not a fine. It's not put them in jail. It's kill them. Because they're perverted, they've gone too far. Just like when someone kills another person, it's a death penalty. You don't get reformed. You don't get a second chance. You've done something. You've crossed a line in the law that just says, okay, there is no other punishment for you than to be put to death. And that's the way that God views sodomy. And people today would freak out if you said that. Instead of being so focused on whether or not homos can get married, we need to get focused on passing a law that says, if you're a homo, you're going to be put to death. You're going to get electrocuted. You're going to get stoned with stones. You're going to get whatever, because that is how our culture views this, because we line up with God's word. Because we believe that the law of the Lord is perfect. We believe that God doesn't make mistakes. We believe that if God says something is wrong in the Bible, that it's really wrong. And we're talking about those moral laws here, which is exactly what this is talking about in Leviticus. It's talking about moral laws. It's talking about things that are wrong for all generations. It spans all time. We're not talking about the Levitical priesthood and offering of sacrifices. We're not talking about that law that was changed. We're talking about the laws just like thou shalt not kill. That law hasn't been abolished. It hasn't been done away with. Neither has lying carnally with a man and being a homo. That law hasn't changed either. And we're going to see this, you know, yeah, we're in the Old Testament right now, but we're going to get to the New Testament. Now, we need to understand, and this is, I remember when I first started going to my old church, when I would hear the preaching on this subject and on sodomy, and I remember going to the pastor after service and just telling him, hey, don't back off of this. This is really important, because when I heard it was kind of shocking to me. Yep. And the reason why it was shocking is because our culture has gotten so wicked, and we get so used to hearing things. When you get in society, it rubs off on you. And it has an effect. I don't care who you are. It has an impact on you. And when you start hearing this of it, it becomes commonplace and people are talking about it and becomes part of the conversation. You get desensitized to how perverted and sick and twisted the sin actually is. And that's Satan's objective. He wants to desensitize you to sin so that you don't have a strong reaction anymore. He gets you to the point to where, and it makes perfect sense. Think about, at least I can, I think about movies or TV shows or whatever going back 20 years. If a movie or TV show or something like that were to have like two guys give a kiss on the stage or something, you would be revolted. You would be like, ugh, you know, like I can't believe they did that. I don't even want to see this anymore. I remember having that reaction. The first time I ever saw something like that, like I was done. I didn't even want to watch that show or movie or anything anymore, because I was like, I can't believe they did that. This is disgusting. I hate this movie. But they do that, and then they wait. And then they'll do it again. And then they'll do it again. And they keep flashing this in front of your eyes so that that reaction that you have, the whole point is to lessen that every time. And to make you start to think, this is normal. This is commonplace. And Hollywood is great about doing that because they put out one film, they're able to put out one film, and they put out tons of films. But so many people in this country go out and watch that. So they're able to put this image in front of your face, and they have captive audiences, and it doesn't matter what the movie's about. They put in a scene like that, and that's Satan's work being done right there, desensitizing you. And that's how our whole culture has been lost in this wickedness of Hollywood. You know, bringing forth the adultery and letting you see. And what they do is they'll give you these sad stories like, what's that stupid movie with Tom Hanks, Philadelphia, where it's, feel sorry for this homo. And you start to look, you know, they want you to look at him different and think, it's really not that bad. See, he has feelings too and all this other stuff. And to distract you from the wickedness of the sin. To distract you and to make you think that, maybe we need to rethink this. Maybe this isn't so bad. It's time for America to wake up and get God's view of sodomy. We're going to look at the examples that the Bible gives of people who have committed this sin. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 9. Now, those laws that we read in Leviticus 18 where we started, the Bible says, for all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled. Now, God's explaining, and it wasn't just these sins, because it mentions that in another place, and it goes into the bestiality and everything else. It says, God's giving them these laws and says that the people that got cast out of the land, they did all of those things. And that's why the land spewed them out. And I'll tell you what, the land is going to spew out this nation from being a nation as we get further and further. And I mean, I don't see how it's not going to happen now, because we've already gotten to this point of accepting homosexuality, just saying it's okay. And so many people just say that this is no problem, no big deal. And I want to point this out. 1 Kings 14:24, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says, and there were also sodomites in the land. This is how the Bible is talking about sodomites. And just so you know, from here on forward, anytime I use the word sodomite, it's talking about a queer. It's talking about a fag. It's talking about a homo. Okay? That's what a sodomite is. They come from the land of Sodom. That's why I use the word Sodom. Because in the land of Sodom, we're going to get to that story where God rains down fire and brimstone and destroys all the wicked people in that land. But it says, and there were sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. That's just one verse showing how wicked a sodomite is. A sodomite is someone who is filthy and vile and commits all kinds of different sin. It's not even just the one sin of lying with mankind. They are full, they have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. Again, we're going to get into some of that scripture in a little bit. But let's look at these examples here, because we're going to see three stories in the Bible all dealing with sodomites. If you're in Genesis chapter 9, we're going to see the first one starts with Noah. And this is to combat the view of, homos, they're just funny. They're just, they do their thing. Yeah, they're a little bit weird, but they're presented as real funny and comical, and just they're flamboyant, and they're just kind of funny, and they're different. But, they're no big deal. Not anything we need to be worried about or concerned about. Well, I'll tell you what, if God puts a death penalty on something, there is a reason for it. And I'll tell you what the reason is, because they're predators. Any homo is not, they are not interested in your well-being. I don't care what kind of image they put out. I don't care what they look like on the outside. I don't care, how you know them. On the inside, they're ravening wolves. Mm-hmm. On the inside, they are looking to destroy. You know, homos are not reproducers. They can't reproduce. Yet you see these pictures of gay couples. I don't even like using that word gay because gay means happy. And these perverts aren't gay. But you see these homo couples with children. They didn't get those children on their own. That's not that. There's no way that could happen. What happens is that the stinking state allows them to even adopt children. And what they do is they defile them. Because they're predators. Because they recruit. They like to get the young, susceptible kids at a young age and defile them to try to twist their brain around to try to get them to where they are in that same wickedness. And you often see a pattern of people who have been abused becoming a sodomite themselves because that's how they're recruited. That's how they attack and defile and try to get people to join their wickedness and their wicked ways. We'll see Genesis chapter 9, look at verse number 20. This is just after the flood. The Bible says, and Noah began to be an husbandman and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken and he was uncovered within his tent. So Noah gets drunk and he's uncovered, he's naked in his tent. Bible says in verse 22, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, we just read Leviticus 18. So we saw where he's talking about uncovering thy father's nakedness, uncovering thy mother's nakedness. It's very obvious from that chapter. It's not just talking about you happen to see somebody unclothed. Right? That's not what this is talking about either. When it says that Canaan saw the nakedness of his father. Again, the Bible's using language here to not be graphic, to not get into detail. But if I mean, think about it. It doesn't make any sense. If he were to accidentally just go into like, hey, Dad, are you home? Like, whoa. And he was just uncovered in his tent. Why would Noah curse him the way that he did, just for making an honest mistake of oh wait, I didn't mean to see that. There is no way he would curse him, and there's no way he would say as he did in verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. If he just saw something, what did he do to him? Because he did do something to him, because he was wicked. And that's why his descendants are wicked, and that's why they all got cursed, was because of this wickedness that he did. And what did he do? He seized on an opportunity where somebody was left vulnerable, and he attacked and raped and forced that person. This is our first example of those friendly sodomites, of those ones that we should just allow and be so glad that now they can get married. Turn, if you would, to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Here's our next example of the wonderful sodomites that are in the land that we're so happy about this morning. Genesis 18, look at verse number 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. Jump down to verse 32. Because here we see Abraham pleading with God. This is when God's talking to Abraham. He's saying he's going to go down and destroy it. I've heard that their sin is very grievous. So he's sending his angels. I'm going to make sure. I'm going to see. I've heard these prayers. I've heard basically Lot probably saying, you know, he's vexed with the wickedness. And I'm going to go see if this stuff is really true. So he sends his angels, and then Abraham knows that Lot's there, so he's pleading with them. Look at verse 32, it says, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet, but this once, peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. Abraham's saying, look, are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? You know, like, really trying to plead with God to spare the city for Lot's sake. And he says, look, if you find, what if you find 10 people in there that are saved? 10 righteous men. In an entire city, think about that. An entire city, just to find 10 people who are saved. And God says, okay, I won't destroy it for 10. But we all know what happens to Sodom. Obviously, there wasn't even 10 people that were righteous in the city. That's how far gone they were and how wicked they were. Flip over to chapter 19, verse 1. Genesis 19, 1. The Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So we see here the angels come into town, and Lot's like, oh, hey, come on, you know, stay with me. Stay in my house. I'll put you up for the night. And they're like, no, we're just going to stay out here in the street. No big deal. And he presses upon them greatly. Now, the reason why he does that is because he knows the wickedness of the Sodomites. He knows that they are abusers and defilers and that they're predators. He knows this, which is why he presses upon them. And even though they come into his house, look at what they do. Verse number 4, but before they lay down, so they're inside, they're eating, they're having their own good time, whatever, and Lot's entertaining them. Verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. These Sodomites surround the house, and this is full of old Sodomites and young Sodomites. From every quarter, says from all over the city. And they called unto Lot, verse 5, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Again, the Bible is using very clean language here. But that word know, if you go back to Adam and Eve, it says Adam knew his wife and she bare a son. That's the knowing that they want to know, these men that came into us. Perverted, it's disgusting. So they're saying, you know, bring them out here because we want to defile them. We want to do things to them that ought not to be done. And they're bold. Look at how bold they are. When you have an entire city given over to this wickedness, they all of a sudden become very bold. And they're getting a lot more bold in this country today. To now we have that stinking lesbian in Houston. I don't know if you heard about this. I don't know if she's a mayor, whatever she is, in Houston. Is now attacking the churches because they had this, it's laughable, but it's not funny. How depraved our society is getting. In Houston, their city council, whoever, passed a law that basically allowed men to go into women's restrooms and women to go into men's restrooms in public. Because, oh, if somebody's having gender identity issues, they don't know, well, inside I'm really a woman, so I'm going to go use the woman's bathroom. They're saying that that's okay. What kind of twisted world do we live in? When people just say, like, I think I might be a woman, so okay, we're going to pass laws and say, go ahead, go into women's bathroom then. It's insanity. It truly, it boggles the mind. To what low level of an animal a person must be to think that this is rational in any sense of the word. To say, you know what? We won't even put up signs whether it's male or female because just go on in there. And it's getting to that point. The absurdity of it. To not separate men and women just because someone thinks they have some kind of gender problems. They don't have a gender problem. They have a wicked heart and they need to be put to death. Amen. That's their problem. They rejected God and God rejected them. That's their problem. And we need to have just laws, not catering to these brute beasts. We need to have laws that are putting them down. So this lesbian, this sodomite, is going after because there's a lot of people obviously that are upset about this ordinance being passed because they care about their daughters, they care about their wives, they care about them going into a public restroom and they don't have to worry about some man coming in and molesting them and attacking them Because now it's just okay because you can't stop a man going into a woman's restroom. So they're upset about this and they're trying to change this. So there's pastors, of course, they'll thank God there's somebody trying to stop this. And other people are fighting this bill. So this sodomite in the town is now putting out is demanding to see their sermons. Is demanding to get that, to see what they've said about this bill and about and what they say about sodomites, what they say. You know what? Go ahead. I hope that sodomite listens to this sermon. You know, I'll send it to her. I'm not going to fight against her hearing what I've got to say and what I'm going to preach about this. I hope everybody hears this because it needs to be heard. And I'm not going to cower down and say, oh, you want to see what I actually said? I'll tell you what I said. She ought to be put to death. The death penalty, yes. Yes, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not flipping out over something that's a little deal. I'm just believing what the Bible says. And while we're at it, let's get adulterers to death too. Let's institute all of these laws the way that they ought to be and become a righteous nation again. That's right. Let's go back to the days of stoning. It's a brutal way to die, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. God didn't say to chop their head off with a sword. They had swords. He said to stone them with stones. And it was the people who did that. The people were involved in carrying out that execution. To remind you how wicked it is. I guarantee you, if you were to take part into something like that, it would have an impact on you. It would have a long-lasting impact in your life. Of seeing, witnessing, and taking part in an event like that. And it ought to. Because it's not pretty. You know, it's easy to talk about it, but then being a part of it, that's going to have an impact on you to where you won't ever want to see it again, and no one else is going to want to see that again. And it should scare you straight as a society. And get those homos either in the closet or out of our land. Just get them out of here. As all the righteous kings did. As recorded, we're going to get to that too. The righteous ones that got the sodomites out of the land. And they were doing that which is right in God's eyes. She's trying to get their sermons, their communication. Yeah, we are against you because we think that you're filthy animals. And you're passing absurd laws like this because you're depraved and you're like an animal. Where were we? We're in Genesis 19, right? Where did I leave off? That we may know them. Verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And isn't this funny? Because it's the sodomites that are going to say, oh, don't judge. You know, judge not, judge not. And that's exactly what they're saying to Lot. They're saying, oh, you came here. You're a stranger. You're a foreigner. You came here just to stay in our land. And now you're going to be a judge over us. And this is why, you know, Satan has deceived people into thinking that, oh, if you're Christian, you can't judge. Because they twist and rip verses out of context, like in Matthew 7, that says, judge not that ye be not judged. And they don't continue reading. They just think it's a blanket statement. Oh, you just can never judge. No, we can judge. We can judge righteous judgment. We can judge God's judgment that says here that being a homo is an abomination. That doesn't change. God still thinks the same way about that. And we can repeat that till we're blue in the face. And it's not something that we can't, that we shouldn't be, oh, you can't judge. But it is what they say a lot. They say, oh, you're going to be a judge over us. You're going to judge us. They don't want to be judged. And that's why, look at what they say to him. It says, this one fellow came to sojourn and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. So the things that we were going to do to them, we're going to deal with you worse. They know it's bad. They know what they're doing is bad. We're going to be even worse to you. They weren't going with good intentions. They weren't going to love those angels. They were going to do bad things unto them, and now they want to do worse to Lot. This is their intention. This is what the sodomites are really like. This is what they're all about. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. Verse 11, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. They want to get to Lot so bad. They want to defile him, and they're in such a uproar about this, and that it says even when they're struck with blindness, they've wearied themselves to find the door. They're still trying to get into him. They've just been blinded, and it's not stopping their attack to try to get to Lot and those angels. Verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. Jump down to verse 24. The Bible says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. God utterly and completely destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's because of their wickedness. And we Christians today think that God has changed his mind on how he views this. Christians today will watch movies and make friends with people at work or wherever and say, oh, they're not that bad. Well, the first two stories, turn if you would to Judges 19, the first two stories that we saw here, I don't see anything good about the Sodomites. I don't see any reason why we need to have compassion and love them. They look like predators to me. They look like people who are out to destroy and to defile people. Turn if you would to Judges 19, we're going to see the third story. Because there's three stories in the Bible that make mention or are about Sodomites. We saw two of them already. We're going to see Judges 19. Because this one, you know what? This one will put it all straight. And those were just the bad Sodomites, right?
That's it.
They were the bad ones, you know, but they're not all that bad. Judges 19. Judges 19, starting in verse number 18, the Bible reads, and this is a story of the man and his concubine, and they're trying to get back home. And they stop in his town, and he says, and he said unto him in verse 18, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah. But I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. So they're passing through town, and they're trying to get set up in a house for a night, you know, trying to find a hotel, whatever, and there's no room. And nobody's taking them in. Nobody's being compassionate to them. No one's accepting them into their house. Verse 19, he says, yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me and for thy handmaid, and for the young man, which is thy servants. There is no want of anything. He's like, we've got everything we need. You don't need to do anything for us. We just need a place to stay. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. Sound familiar? Exactly what Lot said to the angels that came in town, you know, it pressed sorely upon him. Don't stay in the street. This guy's saying the same thing to him. So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. It's a repeat. It's the exact same story. Different area, different group of people, same exact qualities, same exact attributes. And here it calls them sons of Belial, which is children of the devil. That's what Sodomites are. They're children of the devil. They're satanic. And again, they get a mob together. They surround the house. And they say, you bring that man out to us, because that's what they want. And they have their sick, perverted lusts that they're going to fulfill, and they're going to defile and abuse and harm and do whatever to this man. And so this guy is just just like Lot, he says in verse 23, and the master of the house went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. And this is this, you know, it sickens me to even read this story because it's so disgusting. It's such a horrible story. Now, was it right for the guy to cast his concubine out to him? No, of course not. I'm not justifying that. And people like to focus on that one aspect of the story and try to get off of the portion of the sodomites that are there to abuse and to rape and to do these things. And there's so much packed into the story we could learn from them, but it says they knew her and abused her all night until the morning. And then when the day began to spring, they let her go because they are of the night. They are not of the day. They are not children of the light. They're children of the darkness and they're children of night. And as soon, just like cockroaches, when the sun starts to come up, they scurry away. They don't want people to see their wickedness. The sodomites, they don't want you to know what really goes on. They don't want you to see the things that happen. They want to be able to do their thing. They want to do their thing in darkness, and they don't really, if everything were to be exposed, Leslie, can you take the dog out, please? If they were to be exposed for what they truly are, everyone would be revolted and it would be disgusting. But they don't want you to know what it is. They go out at night. They defile her all night. Then it says in verse 26, then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place. They killed her. They defiled her. They raped her. They abused her to the point of death. Let that sink in, how brutal that is. And again, not to justify rape or anything like that, not to justify those things because they're completely unjustifiable. And you know, someone who rapes someone ought to be put to death as well. But doing that to the point of death, there, words can't express how vile that is. Words can't express the wickedness for somebody to do that unto another person, to kill them in that fashion. That's total depravity. That is someone without a conscience. And that is what these sodomites are. That is who they are. That is what they're about. Those are the three examples in the Bible that we see of sodomites. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 2. This is how the Bible explains what a sodomite is to us. There is nothing good about them. It's all wickedness. And this is what we need to understand today. Don't be deceived by the propaganda of Satan. Don't be deceived into thinking that they're just fine. It's just an alternative lifestyle. Try not to even get caught up in that language. 2 Peter chapter 2, because these stories, the Bible tells us, we're going to see in 2 Peter 2, all these stories were given to us on purpose. We need to get the understanding that we need to from them because they're given as examples. They are examples for us today. I mean, look at what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. God rained fire and brimstone down upon that city. We need to make sure that we understand that today, that God's judgment does come and will come on these perverted, wicked, abominable acts. Look at verse 6 of 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. So you're saying, okay, those of you that want to be sodomites, those of you that want to get involved in this wickedness, Sodom and Gomorrah, this story was recorded in the Bible and God's word as an example for you who want to do this stuff later on. If you want to live in his ways, this is an example. This is God's warning to you. This is God's feelings about Sodomites. This is how God views this. He says, I reigned and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone from heaven and completely annihilated them and wiped them off the face of this earth because of their wickedness. And you think this is okay? And you Christians think this is something to be happy about? This is something that we should be exalting and saying, oh, isn't it just so wonderful now that they could get married? Now that we accept them so much in our society that now we're just going to, you know, the government's going to start giving them benefits because they're married and everything else that goes along with it. Now, you know, we're gonna throw celebrations for them and they're going to have wedding parties. And this isn't it just all so wonderful? God gave us Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. Verse number 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. This should vex your soul as well. I know it vexes mine. Anytime I see those stinking perverts out in public, it's a vexation. And you hear what they talk about, it's wickedness. It's wickedness and it's a vexation to the soul. The Bible says in verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring that railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. That's why all the Sodomites, they hate Christianity. They speak evil of the things they don't understand. They're like, it says here, natural brute beast. The word brute means stupid, and the word beast means an animal. They're like stupid animals. They don't even understand. They don't understand anything about the Bible or about God, and they speak evil of those things. They're going to speak evil of the Bible because all they know is that the Bible's against them. So of course they're going to speak evil of it. And it says, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. They like to beguile unstable souls like children. Children's souls aren't very stable. They need teaching. They need direction. They need instruction. The homos go after the unstable souls. They have eyes full of adultery. They can't, think about that. They cannot cease from sin. Now look, I know we're all sinners and I sin probably every single day, but it doesn't mean they have eyes that just simply cannot cease from sin. That's because their heart is darkened. And it's just all darkness. And that's all they do is that they have eyes full of adultery and they cannot cease from sin. So how do we do what's right in God's eyes? So we just let these homos marry and that's right. God's going to be pleased with that. Well, as I mentioned earlier, what the kings did is they got them out of the land. 1 Kings 15:11, the Bible says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So 1 Kings 15:11 says, Asa, hey, he did exactly that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. The very next statement, he took the Sodomites out of the land. And then we have King Josiah. We have Jehoshaphat also. He got rid of the remnant of the Sodomites that were in the land because Asa, his father, got rid of the Sodomites, but apparently he didn't get all of them. So then Jehoshaphat goes and he gets rid of the Sodomites out of the land. And then the Bible says in 2 Kings 23:7, talking about King Josiah, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. He tore down their houses. And notice, they're by the house of the Lord. They're not afraid of the house of God. They ought to be, but they're not. They're not afraid of it. They actually go to infiltrate. And they go to defile. And that's why you hear about these perverts that get into churches and defile children. That's why we're never going to have our children separated from us. As long as this church exists, as long as I'm in charge of running things, we are never going to have our children separated from us to where some infiltrator, some pervert can get into the church and defile our young children. It's never going to happen under my watch. Never once. But that's what they're out to do. They are out to defile the purity, to seek and to try to recruit people after their wicked lifestyle. That is what they're about. Don't let our culture, don't let Hollywood, don't let the music industry, don't let any of these people twist your brain about what a sodomite is and about how wicked and evil they are. They're wicked to the point that they need to be put to death according to the Bible. That's what the Bible says. And, would to God more pastors would stand up and not be afraid of the congregation and what some person might think and say, oh, but that's not very loving. That's not very caring. Look, it's the Bible. Okay? This is what I preached the Bible this morning. We saw the examples from God's word about who these people are and about what it says about them. If you have a problem with what I preach, let me know from the Bible where I erred. Where was I incorrect in Scripture in describing the sodomites? You let me know. You're not going to find anything, but you let me know because I'd like to hear about it. But this is what the Bible says. This is what the way our attitudes ought to be. We ought not to be accepting and compromising and just saying, okay, well, because what happens is people say, well, you just do what you want to do as long as I don't have to see it. No. No, this wickedness should never even exist in our community. It should not be here at all. And it disgusts me to no end that even our newspaper, we're in Prescott Valley, Arizona. This is supposed to be, you know, I talk to people so many times at the door, man, you know, this is a great place to raise your kids. You know, this is a place, you know, I can't believe, you know, yeah, I'm glad you got out of Phoenix. You know, I would never raise kids there. This is the place where you need to be. And in our local newspaper, just a few weeks ago, they were honoring some lesbian couple from Prescott Valley that got married. Disgusting. And you're going to tout yourself now as a city of a place to raise children when you even put that filth in print as if it's a good thing? Instead of saying, shame on these people from Prescott Valley, shame on these sodomites, and we hope they never come back. They could stay and stink in California. That's what it ought to say. If you truly have a city that's a city to raise children, a godly city, that's what the publication would say. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. God, I think one of the reasons why this topic isn't dealt with very much from the pulpit is it's not a pleasant subject. It's not a fun one to preach, dear Lord. It turns my stomach to think about it, but it needs to be done. It needs to be heard. We need to make sure that our mindset is right regarding this issue, that it's in line with the way that you view things. God, help us as we live our lives, as we read your word, to get the view that you have of us, of our lives, of all the sin in our life, dear God. I think it'll help us to repent, to get right, to change our ways if we truly understood the way that you view things and not just to be influenced so much by our culture, by the satanic world that we live in, dear Lord, that that tries to excuse our sins. And Lord, I pray that you would please help us to never think that there's an excuse for such abominable wickedness as the things that are going on in this country, and we know that your judgment will come righteously upon the wicked acts that are being done here. Lord, I pray, the Bible says that you know how to save the righteous from the temptation, dear Lord, and we know that you're able to deliver us out of the evil that you could bring. And Lord, I just pray that when the judgment does come, that you'd look out for your people who have stayed true to you, dear Lord, and that you'd spare us and save us from the judgment to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.